Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our gospel lesson this morning is full of things that could be preached. That Jesus is true God. That the friends call upon him as such and ask that he do a miracle that only God can do. That he is true God and God in the flesh. That Jesus uses fingers and spit in the healing of this man. The teaching that true friends will seek out blessings and benefits for each other. Chief of which is, of course, to be put before God that God would work on that friend. Have you thought of that? How these friends, this crowd that brings this deaf man to Jesus, sought not only his physical help, but because of their nature of calling upon God to help, his spiritual healing as well. What does that say about your friends? Jesus is sent here even to the Gentiles. He lands himself in the Decapolis, not a Jewish region, not just the Jews. That's not what he's just sent for. But he finds himself doing such things in this Gentile land. That Jesus is the Christ. As prophesied, as we heard in the prophecy by Isaiah in the Old Testament lesson, and then fulfilled as we hear it in Mark chapter 7. That he is the Christ for the whole world. Not just Jew, but Gentile as well. But today, to hear the confession of the crowd at the end of the lesson, this Jesus does all things well, even making the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. That is key for our hearing this morning. Elsewhere in the Gospels, when we hear of Jesus healing a leper, it is noticeable and often noted in sermons to use leprosy and its deceitful way of making sure the person cannot feel what's going on to be symbolic of original sin. That the corruption of sin is so through and through in a person that from the very start in us, it makes sense. Our sense of spiritual things is absolutely corrupt, unable to discern just how bad that corruption really is. That without God's word, we would know nothing of it. In the same way, today, when you hear of a deaf man with a speech impediment, we have a picture of mankind's spiritual state prior to God's work upon man. That without Christ's work on a man remains deaf to the word of God, unable to speak rightly of anything spiritual. This is why you see so much gibberish being spoken today about spirituality, but very little true religion and spirituality. That the world is absolutely full of spiritually deaf people who are unable to speak rightly, to speak plainly, who are unable to speak correctly about anything to do with the one true God. Of course, we know from all that is written, all that is spoken, all that goes out over TV stations, over radio stations, and so forth, that that doesn't stop them from trying to speak, even from their ignorance. This is why it is dangerous to listen to the most popular spiritual speakers and movements and books of our day. Because they are often the product of the deaf and the dumb leading the deaf and the dumb. Because such poisoned tongues and deaf ears are out there, we are exhorted in our hearing today to keep close to the Word of God. Not just on Sundays, but on each day. Knowing that the Spirit of our God, who brings the glory greater than that, the glory of Moses, the Spirit of our God uses that Word of God to teach us things and keep our ears open to hear and our mouths open to rightly praise our God. Many of our prayer offices, two especially that we use here at Our Savior, services like Matins and Vespers, as they're called, they begin with a recitation of a psalm. O Lord, open thou my lips. And the congregation responds with, and my mouth will show forth or declare your praise. That's what we see in the gospel lesson today. That without Christ, this man would have continued unable to hear and unable to speak rightly. But with Christ, who does all things well, the man hears perfectly and precisely confesses the glories of the Lord. That true and right praise comes from his lips. That the pattern of the true worship of God does not begin with man, but it begins with God. And that each of these times is a small glimpse into the pattern of salvation, that God works first. God gives faith. Man receives by that same faith and responds according to that same faith. This is what the scriptures lay out for us. And indeed the pattern that we hear from Mark 7 today. The deaf man has friends. They bring him to Jesus. They had heard something about Jesus and his ability to heal. They thought something. They believed something about Jesus. They ask him as one would ask a god. They ask him to heal. And since all sickness, all mutations, all death come by sin. That is, they come by the first sin, which echoes throughout history in ripple effects throughout history. They are asking, in essence, Jesus to undo what sin has done. And this is most certainly Jesus' proper office as the Christ. That he has come to defeat the works of the devil. He has come to defeat sin. He's come to undo it. And our text today is a small example. He does it in a particular way, a strange way. He takes the man aside privately. Jesus deals with individuals. He puts his fingers in his ears. He spits. He puts his finger on the man's tongue. He, who has come down into the flesh, assumed human flesh, then also descends into the depths of this sinful creation, taking on the effects of the fall in every way. And he looks up to heaven as if to pray, because it is the Father's will that salvation would come to all. It is the Father's will that ears would be opened to hear his word and that mouths would be opened to sing his praise. It is the Father's will that sin would be undone. And he groans. He sighs, as it says. That there is a compassionate frustration within our Lord Jesus Christ about the fall and what it has done to this man, and it becomes audible in our Lord's groan. That Jesus has compassion. That Jesus knows what sin has done and what sin has cost. But yet, more than just being compassionate and sad about the man's situation or even just frustrated about it, our Lord acts. He does something. He undoes it. And he speaks. And that this man's ears are opened as he speaks. Foreshadowing the power that the gospel has, that while calling for faith in Jesus, it rightly creates that same faith in Jesus. And the man's ears are open to hear it, and then from those ears that hear, it says, comes a mouth that speaks plainly, that his tongue is loosed and he speaks plainly, or more correctly, he speaks rightly. And it's an important order to observe. Hearing first, then speaking. That our Lord does all things well. And ironically, then he charges them not to tell anyone else about this. He does so because his hour had not yet come. And yet, because, of course, of what he, the Lord our God, had done, all the time he charges them not to speak, with more greater zeal, they, of course, could not keep quiet these great works of Jesus, what our Lord had done. Ears and our hearing, tongues and our speaking, all of this to show our loving Savior, our loving Savior from sin and all the effects of sin. But all of this about ears and tongues to remind you of how you use your ear, how you use your tongue. That true praise, right speech, was found in this man's mouth after his ears were filled with the word of Christ. So what fills your ears? What then proceeds from your mouth? That we all know the evils of this world that can fill our ears, the gossips and the slanders, which come both into our ear but then find their way out through our tongue. But there is even worse. Your ears could be open to hear false teaching, that is, wrong words about God. And then your tongue could be loosed to speak false speaking, false teaching, wrong words about God as well. How about blessing or cursing? As James points out, do we presume to bless our God and yet all the while still curse man who is created in God's image? You see, this begins with wrong hearing. That all of the words that fill our ears, how many of them are godly and good and right? How many of them then will take up good root in our hearts of flesh and bear fruit of good works and love and words towards others? You see, our Lord knows this. Remember, he came down from heaven, incarnate, and lived in the fallen world that we live in. His ears heard what foul things could come from man. Think here of things like the mockery at the cross. Think of the snares and the tricks and the word games and the play around with words that the leaders of his day had set in order to catch Jesus in his words. Think of all the false accusations that came towards him. Think of all the false teaching that he heard from the so-called teachers of the law in his day. And yet, because Jesus came for your salvation, the filth that went into his ears did not produce such vile words from his mouth. Instead, of course, our Lord did all things well. He reproved in love. He offered correction, true loving correction, to those who heard and spoke wrongly. He spoke the truth to all. And he blessed both God and man by what he said. To those who accused him, he offered forgiveness. For those who mocked him, he prayed. For those who set traps for him, he sprung them back upon themselves to humble them. That our Lord's ears and his mouth always did well, because he does all things well. For all that sin has worked in you, from the defects that are going on in your bodies, to the way that you use your ears to hear and your mouth to speak, our Lord Jesus Christ came to undo sin. That he came for this very reason, to redeem you with your ears and your tongue. That he came in the flesh with ears to hear and a tongue to speak, to do what was good in every case for those who can't do good, for those whose ears were spiritually deaf, for those ears who were filled with sinful words, for those whose tongues then could not help but speak death and bad things and wrong things. That he came to work on them. He came for those who, as James puts it, whose tongues are lit on fire by hell. And that he used his tongue to praise God, to pray to God, to bless and to forgive even those who use their tongues, their ears, in all hatred towards him. But our Lord Jesus does it still today. But this is why the Spirit has gathered you today. That God has given you ears to hear his word. And so what do you hear? You hear the greatest glory of all, the glorious word of the gospel, the word of forgiveness, the word of salvation, the word of redemption, the gospel of what our God in Christ Jesus has done for you and for your salvation. These words of our God, they fill your ear from scripture and from liturgy, from psalm and hymns and sermon, that God is speaking these things to you. He is saying, Ephatha, be opened. Hear the word of the Lord. And the fruit of your hearing is found in your amen, in your prayers, in your singing, in your praises, fueled and filtered by the word of God which you've heard today. That right speech and right praise comes from the hearing of God's word. It is today as it has been, every day since sin, that God rescues and that God speaks. And in his speaking, he opens our ears that we would hear, and that he would loosen our tongues that we would praise. That our God, Jesus Christ, does all things well. That he makes you hear, and he makes you to speak rightly this day. That the works of Jesus that cause praise this day, that is your forgiveness, your life, your salvation, that Jesus does not forbid you to speak of them, that you would learn from the zeal of that crowd to take what our Lord has done and speak it to others. That you have been given, you've been blessed to speak rightly about Jesus. And that like those friends of that deaf man that sought out Jesus' help for him, you can also bring others to Christ, who will indeed do all things well for them as well. And the next Sunday is your chance for their sake that our Lord does all things well. And he has done them well for you and given you ears to hear and a mouth to praise. And that he's done this by his glorious word. In the name of Jesus, amen.